If someone in prison has a terminal illness and poses no risk to society, there's a provision called compassionate release that allows them to die at home. Right now, 49 states have the policy. Massachusetts signed its law just a few months ago. And any day now, the first prisoner in the state correctional system to apply for compassionate release is due a final answer. Reporter Natasha Haverty has his story.
1 year ago, Alex Phillips was at a high point in his life.
Giving the second rebuttal argument, Mr. Alex Phillips.
He was on stage at the Norfolk State Correctional Facility's auditorium, facing off with the MIT debate team.
I would have never saw myself up there arguing intellectually with MIT. Never in my life.
Phillips was 30 years old, a high school dropout when he was sent to prison for manslaughter, and now finishing his college degree with sights on grad school when he got out. But a few months later, a few years before he'd be eligible for parole, he was handed a death sentence. Phillips went to see a doctor about a lump on his abdomen. The diagnosis, stage 4 metastatic colon cancer, which had spread to his pancreas and lungs. The prognosis was less than 18 months.
And that's when he said to me, "Mom, I know I'm going to die, but I don't want to die in prison."
That's Ann Burke, Alex Phillips' mother.
I said, "You won't." I said, "You know you won't. I will do everything I can to get you home."
And that's what she's been doing ever since. Phillips' case seemed tailor-made for how lawmakers design compassionate release to work. His mom is an oncology nurse, and her plan for Alex's treatment at home would use no taxpayer dollars versus the thousands going to his care now. The prison doctor, the prison superintendent, even the father of the victim in Phillips's crime— all wrote in favor of him spending his last days in the care of his mom. Those pleas went to State Department of Correction Commissioner Thomas Turco, the person charged with making the decision.
This should be like a pretty objective decision.
Joel Thompson is an attorney for Prisoners Legal Services and was privy to a lot of the discussions that went into writing the state's compassionate release bill.
You know, do you meet the medical criteria? Do you have a place to go where that medical care can be carried out?
But like most compassionate release cases, it was never going to be that simple. As the commissioner considered his decision, Alex Phillips was getting transported in waist chains and leg irons between the prison and the hospital for chemo.
Alex is weak as a kitten. All you can see is rib cage. He's wasting away.
Anne was spending every minute she had going over her son's medical work, and the clock kept ticking.
Every time I go see him, he's less and less of who he is. He's closer and closer to death.
After 2 months, Commissioner Turco sent his decision. The answer was no. He believed Alex Phillips was still a risk to society. His main reason? A risk assessment from when Phillips first got to prison in 2009, which Turco wrote ranked Alex high for violence and medium for returning to prison. But here's the thing. That risk assessment actually scored Alex low on both those counts. And that's in the packet of materials the commissioner had to review Alex Phillips's case, underlined and marked important with a sticky note. Alex's lawyer obtained that packet through a Freedom of Information request. So was this an oversight or something else? No one I reached out to at the Department of Corrections would comment on Alex Phillips's case or any part of their compassionate release policy.
These are very opaque institutions. They're not transparent.
Joel Thompson points out that Commissioner Turco is a political appointee in the state where 30 years after Willie Horton, politicians may still be reeling from any reform.
You can see the fear that all it takes is one slip up somehow, and I'm done, and everybody around me is getting fired or not getting reelected or whatever the position is. That isn't, you can see the power of that pressure, right?
But the law says a petitioner can reapply for release, and so Alex and his mom did, right away. Ultimately, Thompson says, this decision will boil down to a fundamental question about the law.
When somebody has committed some sort of societal wrong and we've determined that, what are we entitled to do to that person? How far do we go? Where's the line that we won't cross?
This is a prepaid collect call from
Alexander Phillips,
an inmate at Massachusetts Department of Corrections.
Alex spends most of his time in bed these days. A couple weeks ago, he was able to call before heading into his next round of chemo.
Sometimes it feels like I live two lives. I'm so completely different from who I was as a teenager out there that, I mean, if you had to judge me not on my looks, you wouldn't even know who I was.
Anne says the other day her son admitted to her he was almost thinking about giving up on treatment.
And I said, no, you can't. You know, we need to stay strong. I will get you out of here. I know it in my heart that you'll come home. I just don't know when that will be. And I hope that it's not days before he dies.
By this weekend, Anne will know if her son is coming home. For Here and Now, I'm Natasha Haverty.